hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, a medical doctor who doubles as an email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and didn't work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Email Marketing Experiment. Today's session is going to be a bit different from what you've been used to. But first of all, I have an online business manager in the house, a systems expert, and much more. And today we're going to be looking at something extra special. But before I do that, join me to welcome Michaela to the call. Michaela, it's good to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
It's a pleasure. Now, Michaela, you're the systems person. You know, you do a lot of things. You have like your digital shop, you have your course, you have your client work, you have your school community. So I'm just wondering, could you go ahead and give us a bit of an introduction so our listeners get to, you know a bit more about you?
Yes. So I've been in this for about 8 years now. I started my virtual assistant business. I tried once before, about 4 years back, didn't succeed. But then I tried again last year. I gave it my all and I decided, because I kept getting feedback, you're very good with systems. This is something you should pursue. So I was like, yes, I'm doing this. I tried, I went in, I researched. And that's when I started the online business management as a service to provide. But joint to that, I also started my digital marketing course and virtual assistant course. I tried to make it as profitable as possible and as affordable as possible so everyone has access to it. And that's when my love for digital products started, because I didn't know about was an income stream people could make. So I started doing that to help kind of fund my business. And now I'm learning about email marketing, because that's going to help even more.
That's right. That's right. So when you're not doing systems, client work, virtual assistants, online course, and all the, plenty tech things, what can we find you doing?
Oh, you can definitely find me reading books, still old fashioned. As much as I love digital products, I'm reading my book or I am baking. I love to bake cake.
What's your favorite cake to bake?
Chocolate.
Well. I used to bake back then, and I remember there was this chocolate recipe me and my friend were trying to master. So we wanted the moist chocolate cake, oil-based recipe without butter. I remember that like three different times. One of the times we did the cake, it sank in the middle. Then another of the times we did the cake, and then it was like dome shape. Then one time, these were some of our fails before we finally mastered it. The cake like spread out on the top, and then all the edges were like getting burnt and crusted. Then the middle wasn't quite done. It did take us a while to master that chocolate cake, but when we got it, it was perfect. It was perfect. All right. So let's look at your email marketing journey, right? Before we go into it, you have an email list. You've done it for a while. But I want to know, you started building your list back in like October, if I'm not mistaken, right? And you started taking it seriously. So can you like bring up to speed from when you started your email list up until like today, where we are today?
So when I started, I had the intention of obviously having an email list for my clients, an email list for my course. And I tried to do the whole newsletter. That didn't work out. So I kind of just stuck with emailing the people who would buy my products. So the customers, that I could do. I could send out emails about offers, promos. But that was also, once again, just when I was launching something. And I feel I needed to be more consistent. I started with a list of only, I remember it was 37. And then it grew to 107. And just quite recently, we are up to about 300 now in the past couple of days, because we've had more people joining. So the list is growing, but there's no welcome series. There's no nurture. There's nothing. I need to have that in place. I can see it in my mind. I need it on paper.
All right. So thank you for the backstory. So for everybody listening, here's what we're doing today. You know, I told you we're going to do a bit different. We're going to be creating an email marketing strategy live for Michaela to help her to be able to nurture her list and be consistent. First of all, we need to celebrate that 300 subscribers. I mean, you're seeing growth, you're seeing traction. Congratulations on that. So let's move further into what you've tried so far. I mean, you have been able to grow your list to an extent. You've been able to see some results. And then you are at this point where you know that there are systems that need to be set up, but they haven't been set up. So let's look at the things you have done in the past and what it is you have, you know, tried, both those that worked and didn't work.
So in the past, I had beacons. So I first started my email list on beacons, and they obviously have templates that they kind of send to you and you can use. So I was using those, and my click rate was quite good through those. I would have at least, at one point I had 90% open rate for my emails. Then as the list started to grow, I decided to move over to MailerLite. Then once I moved over, I did the whole consent thing. So obviously I lost a few at that time. But my idea in my mind is to do the newsletter for my clients, to have a lead generation type of email for new clients to nurture them. And then for my course to upsell other products, to have, what do they call it? Information, like where you give out information and you kind of give some tips. I want three different email types. I do get people opening, but I feel the longer I go silent, I will start to lose people on the list.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. And you've also seen like some success too, because I mean, I was looking at like your open rates and the stats you sent me, right? The opens, the click to open rates, you have like 40% click rates, you know, 9 points. And then the click to open rates, yeah, is quite high. And so let me ask you, when it comes to doing email marketing, aside the fact that, you know, you have it in your head and you need it on paper, what aspect of it would you say is like the hardest?
I would say is actually mapping it out, because I want it to be a sequence. So now I can sit down, I can get one email out, but to carry that through into a sequence, I struggle with that part. I need to know, like, this is the journey I'm trying to take them on with this sequence.
Yeah, I get how that can be. All right, so we're going to go into the strategy proper. Now, there are two things that I've identified. One is that you have some sequences that you need to set up, and they're in like three categories, if I'm not mistaken. So you want to be able to welcome new subscribers, which is very, very important. You also want to be able to nurture your clients, right? So to be able to keep them warm. And then you want to be able to nurture those inside your community, yeah?
Yeah.
But the second part is you see people come in, but it's like they just come in and silence. So you also want to ensure that these people get to hear from you in your voice, get to know you, like to trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So I'm going to be walking you through a very simple system. A lot of times you hear people talk about attract, nurture, convert. And I used to talk about attract, nurture, convert a lot. But then I refined it because I realized that beyond attract, nurture, and convert, there was something else that was missing. And so I started calling it the ANCO framework. So the attract, the nurture, and the convert, and then you want to optimize. And I don't just use this in email marketing. I use it in like every aspect of my business. And so I'm going to take you through each step, because I don't just want you to have, oh, let's map up your welcome sequence. But I want you to have something that at the end of the day, you can look back and say, this is how I'm going to do this. Yeah. And then you're just following it like an execution plan. All right. So we'll take it from the top, because we email marketing, I tell people it's permission-based marketing. And it's also the fact that you're building relationships. So you don't just want to convert. You want to be able to connect with people. You want people to see you as the authority, but you also want them to fill your personality, you want to build community, and then, of course, you want to impact them. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
All right. And then considering you even have like services and you have courses, you have so much value that they can benefit from. But now they need to see that you see them, hear them, and understand them. And so that's what we want to do. So let's start with the A. You said in recent times, you've been able to grow your list further to about 300 people. Do you mind sharing how those 300 people came about?
So obviously it's through selling the course. So Digital Duo Academy, we have resellers. Now, when they get into the course, they have to give consent for them to be into the email list. So once they do that, then I obviously add them in. And then my idea is to send out like a welcome sequence, you know, just so they could be like, thank you for entering the course. But yes, we're growing at the moment. We seem to be getting quite a few new members, and I feel this is the perfect time to have this sequence in place. Yeah.
Definitely. So you have people coming in from resellers, but what of like social media? Because I know that I see you on social media as well.
Yeah. So we do get a few that come in from social media. I get a few from Threads and Instagram mainly. Sometimes from Facebook, but not as often. But Threads and Instagram, we get a lot of people that subscribe.
Okay, so we'll say like Threads, Instagram, major traffic source for you as compared to like Facebook. Okay, do you have like a lead magnet that they are coming in for, or everybody who comes in is like purchasing the course?
So majority purchase the course, but then I do have a lead magnet. I have like a freebie where people can download about virtual assistants, or a freebie about digital marketing. So there's two to cater to both audiences. And then another one that I do is I do free webinars. So that's when I really see a lot of people come into the email list as well.
Oh, nice. So how often do you hold like a webinar?
I was doing it every 2 weeks. I had to pause because it's holiday time. But from next month again, we'll pick it up.
That's pretty intense though.
Very.
All right. I think you have that part figured out, because you have like your lead magnet. You also have like the course as well. So people come in, like some come in as paid, some come in as like free, and then they can then get to paid. So what you really do need is to double down on the places that people are coming in. So for example, you have Threads, you have Instagram, then you have webinars, which I believe you still promote on Threads and Instagram. So I usually like to tell people to combine like an evergreen lead magnet with a seasonal lead magnet. So in your case, the seasonal lead magnet is like the webinar, right?
Yeah.
To help to do those bursts of growth. And then the evergreen lead magnet is the one that's always there, always there. The webinar comes and goes, but then the lead magnet, the evergreen one, is always there. So anytime, any day, people can come in and join that particular lead magnet. Then when you decided on the traffic source that is most effective for you, the next thing you want to look at is how can you work that traffic channel to ensure that, you know, it's bringing in like maximum for you. And I try to like tell people, like, start with like organic before you go to paid, right? So if, for example, you're doing webinars and alone, you're getting a certain traction. If you're doing promotions on those channels more often, you think you'll see more growth. And when I say promotions, I mean like, let's say every week, you ensure that you're putting out something that's leading to the lead magnet. Would you think that that will lead to more growth for you?
Yes, definitely. So I do notice when I post, especially on Threads, if I post more about any offers or anything, we do get a lot of traction. So you might get maybe two or three people will join and ask or inquire, which is good. So I do try to run promos, but I have not been as consistent as I would like.
Okay, so do you think working it into like your social media strategy will make it easier for you to be more consistent?
Yeah, definitely.
So we can add it. So when you're planning out like your social media, so I usually tell people you can do like a 1 week campaign, right? Where it's like 1 week back to back. It doesn't mean that every day you're saying sign up for my lead magnet, but the content in that 1 week is tailored at getting people to the call to action, which is to sign up for the lead magnet. So that's like going hard. And if you want to do it at a bit of a softer pace, it's like, okay, every week you can have at least one post that's very specific with the call to action for them to get the lead magnet. So that 7 days is like a kickstart. And then you can then move into the weekly. So the weekly now ensures that every week you're putting out an invite. So it's like you have this inner circle, you have this party ongoing, but people are not going to know except there's an invite, right? So putting it out is something that's going to get them. So to make it easier to implement, you can just work it into your social media strategy. So when you're planning like your content for the month, you just know that, okay, maybe every Monday is like lead generation day. You're trying to grow your email list, that kind of thing. Then you can start at like a second day, but at least you know that that one day is locked in, and then you can, you know, escalate it from there. And then, of course, you can always repurpose and all of that good stuff. Then the other thing I think I will also say is, have you tried out collaborations?
I would love to. You are my first collaboration.
That's nice. That's another thing too, because I tell people that when it comes to like the least growth part of, you know, getting people on your list, there are three B's. And the second B is borrow. So this is when you're borrowing somebody else's audience. So you're putting your stuff in front of somebody else's audience. It's like a symbiotic relationship kind of thing. They benefit from it, you benefit from it, and you get to see the traction that you want. So you could also integrate this into like your strategy. So I remember there was a time I did like a series of collaborations and it was really good. And then I'm like planning to start like another one. So like we're doing this one, you know, that's why I said symbiotic. So mutually beneficial, you do certain. But the thing about collaboration, because it could be any type, it could be bundles, it could be summits, it could be one-on-one where you and the person are talking and deciding how, you need to be careful that there is an audience match. Because once there's, you know, a mismatch, you get people join your list, but it's like, they aren't your tribe, they aren't your people, they are just occupying space. And it can be really frustrating, you know, to go ahead and go do that. So I think I've given like some suggestions, but I want to know which one you think like you're willing to try first.
I would definitely do the social media because I am trying to be more on top of that. And like you said, posting something. I have two pages, so I can obviously post for the clients, have a lead magnet for them, and then have one for the course. So I will definitely, I think that would be the easiest one for me for now to implement.
Yeah, I see how that's pretty easy to start with. Now, one thing I want you to do is once you start posting, right, I need you to track. I need you to be able to track where people are coming in from. So when you post, right, so with some platforms, they can track the source for you. And then with other ones, we just do the extra by, so for example, you could have like a drop down that says, where did you see this link? So that way, you can always have like a chat to see which one is really giving you more traction. And then in the initial time, you can like track the days to the post. So for example, you saw a spike this period. Was there a particular post you made? Then you can use that post to run an ad, put it in front of, you know, somebody else. But basically, I like people to keep it simple and start low lift. So this way you're testing. I mean, when you start organic, if you don't have like that large audience, right, the growth may be a bit slow, but eventually it will pick up. And then if you maybe don't have a large audience, but you're able to collaborate with people who might have like the numbers, then that can also get you some traction, right? So I always love people to, everybody knows you can run an ad. Everybody knows you can put out like a sponsorship for someone's newsletter to promote you. But I always like us to explore within, you know, what it is we do in our day-to-day and what it is we can do organically. So now that we've, you know, figured this part out and what we're going to do, let's look into nurturing, right? And we're going to look into your three email sequences. All right. So what's the first one that you want us to address? Let's start from there.
Okay. So I wanted to do one for onboarding and supporting new clients. Yeah, so onboarding and kind of leading them to purchase a service from us. So if they just came in through the lead magnet, I want to nurture until they book, basically. And then the second one was to nurture the people that are inside the course. And I think the third one was for the ones that are already with me, like my clients that are already with me, to kind of give them insights and feedback about different types of systems, things we can implement, as well as if they're on a certain plan, to kind of encourage another plan that they could upgrade to.
So I think like the last one is like you're trying to do an upsell for your clients. Then the first one you mentioned, you're trying to, so I think I need to write at this point so I don't mix it up here. So let's take that again. Just give me a minute because I remember the last one. So the last one is more of an upsell. Get the people who are, you know, already clients to see more and do more.
Basically, right? For the ones that came in for the VA services, I would want to nurture them to book the online business management services.
So they are going from VA to OBM.
Yeah.
So which is you taking off more work off their plates because now you're in charge of everything. Oh, yeah, that's a smooth transition that you have there. And then for the ones where you have the first one you mentioned.
Yeah, for the onboarding, just nurturing new leads that come in, new clients, potential clients. I would want them to get used to.
All right. And then the second one?
For the people that are already inside the course.
All right. So let me ask you, when it comes to the people who are new leads, people who haven't become clients yet, they haven't purchased the service, they haven't gotten your course, when they join your list, what's in it for them?
At the moment, nothing. Silence. But what should be in it for them is basically tips. For example, I joined an email list once and I stayed only because of the amount. One, it was witty, it was funny, but it was also so informative. There was always new tips and tricks in the VA business, how you can do time management, how you can delegate tasks, how basically helping a business owner with the tasks that you would be doing for them, but kind of giving them on like a short little blurb of what they could get if they joined with you. And I would want to offer something similar to people who join in so they can see, okay, this is what her services are. This is how it could benefit me going forward.
Okay. That's great. And how many times do you want to reach out to people in a week?
Now, this is the thing. I don't know the best number of times to email. For me personally, I don't like getting a lot of emails from the same person in a week. But at the same time, seeing that person pop up the front of my mind, so I know they're there. So it's kind of, I don't know. But for me, maybe two or three. I don't want to overdo it. I don't know what's the, like, what is the perfect number? You know, without being annoying, a nuisance, you know?
The truth is, there's no perfect number, but there's the best one for you. And the best one for you would be the number that helps you achieve your goals, that you're able to keep up with, and that you're comfortable with. Now, when we say help you achieve your goals, there are people that do like a newsletter style, right? So it could be like the 9 things emails. I received that one. It's in reverse. Each week, she does a deep dive, right? And it leads to her blog post. Now, she has like sponsors. Sometimes she plugs in like paid or affiliate product, but then she's doing like a newsletter style, right? So the format is the same, like week on week. Now we have like people who aren't necessarily, some people do like a combination where you're signing up to their email list and then you have the email that comes in like a newsletter style and then you have like the other emails. So the newsletter style would usually have like the same pattern every week. It will usually have like a name attached to it, right? And then you have like the other ones. So I tell people, let's start with what you're comfortable with. I personally don't necessarily advocate for one email, except maybe you want to do like a newsletter style, or you feel like that is just where I will usually push it to at least two, or maybe we just need you to test the waters. So two things, you can actually train people on receiving your emails and you can actually get their preference. So getting their preference in terms of how many times are you open to hearing from me in a week, right? So that way you know that people are okay with this. But on the other hand, you can let them know at the beginning, you will usually hear from me this number of times in a week. So that way you're training them to know what to expect. So they know that, oh, this person's emails. Now, I tell people that irrespective of the number, if you're connecting with your people, even when you don't show up, they'll find you. And I think that's the point that we want to get to, right? So you've said two, you've said three. I'll say let's start with two.
Yes.
Because I want you to actually do it and I want you to start in a place that you're comfortable with, then you can work it up. Now, when we say let's start with two, the next thing is, what are we going to send? So I want to start with these people who are new leads. Definitely, they'll go through the welcome sequence, which will come through. But what I want is, after the welcome sequence, what's next? Because it's so easy to say, we do a welcome sequence, you create 5 to 7 emails, and that's it. But once they are done with that, what's going to be there for them? So I just like to tell people, the first thing is understanding your audience, which you already have two core audiences, which means you have two segments, right? So the people who are coming in for the VA services, and please remind me the other group.
The course. So VA services, OPM services, and then the course, yeah.
Okay, so you have a lead magnet pulling in people who are interested in services, and then you have another one pulling in people who are interested in learning to become, you know, a VA.
Yes.
Or exactly. All right, good. So that's two segments already. Now, the messaging to these two segments would not be the exact same thing. So do you want to let me know, do you have like messaging intact? So what will you usually tell those who are coming in for like the VA services?
So usually for the VA services, I would just do a little introduction about who I am, the business, and then from there, because I tried with one client, I tried to keep it up because I was trying to nurture the lead. And then I went into the services that we could provide. But I feel I did that too soon. I feel it's more speaking to their pain points in an email. Obviously, it's general, but speaking to what their pain points are that led them to find a need. Then I would want to go into an example of something that I could help with, and then my services. So I want to take them through that because I realized I jumped in with a pitch, like a sale, in the next email. I didn't nurture anything.
Yeah. Okay. So you had an introduction, a pain point, a question with an answer to your solution. Yeah. So that's good. But let me take you back a bit. So we talked about messaging. Now, when I talk about messaging, it's like what people know you for, irrespective of everything you're doing. It's like one belief that you're trying to instill to them. So for example, when it comes to, I have two audiences just similar to what you have. So I have people who want to learn email marketing and offer it as a service. And I have business owners who want to start and grow their lists, right? Good. Now, the people who would usually become clients are the people who want to do email marketing for their business. So some of them may start out doing DIY and eventually say, do you know what? I'm going to like dump for you. So these are like my two primary audiences. So when it comes to like those who want to learn, the core messaging I have for them is anybody, including you, can master email copywriting and marketing and offer it as a service. I have variations of this message, right? Anybody, including you, can master email copywriting and marketing as a service and offer it to local and foreign clients. So same messaging with just a few tweaks. So that's like the core messaging. Every other thing is built around this message. Because if I'm trying to instill this belief in you, I'm going to have to help you come to a place where you fulfill this messaging, so to say. I don't know if it makes sense or if you get where I'm going. Yeah. So when you come to like people, your VA services, or maybe I should change the word. Maybe it might not be like your key message. It can also be your mission for these particular people.
For anyone who would come to me, I usually help women entrepreneurs free up their time and get to a place where their back end is handled. And what I would say is, I help you step away. I help you go from chaotic to calm. Yeah.
And that's so key. I totally get it because I've been in that place. I've been in a place where I was like, how can I remove myself? How can I ensure that things are running even if I'm not there? So the reason I said to bring out your key message is because this is where you'll begin to bring out what you're going to send to your list. This is the key message. This is what you're driving them to. So when they come to your list, they know that everything they're getting is going to help them step away. And so you can then begin to break it into like categories of things that can help them step away. It could be systems. It could be productivity. It could be time management. You see that. So you begin to break it into the categories of things that can help them step away. Then on the other hand, you also want to, in doing that, look at the questions they are asking around that, because this is how you get what to write. I have a framework for writing emails that I think is pretty simple. So I usually call it the 4x4 story bank, right? And it carries like 4 categories, but remember that everything is in line with what you're doing per audience. So the part A is your own stories. So all this is to help you develop content, because I feel like when you know what to write, it becomes easier to be consistent. Okay, so the first part is like your stories. So based on like your key messaging and like your pillars, you can then ask yourself, what are your stories around this? For example, you mentioned just now that it's the holidays, and so you had to reduce the number of live sessions, right? That's your story. Some other people may have to like slow down in their business because kids are around, the holidays in full swing, you know, stuff like that. And then it now gets to the point where it's like, so how do you keep your business going? So now they're stepping away from the holidays, and how do you keep your business going, right? So that's your stories. Now, the second part would be your product stories. So in this case, it could be like stories around your services, right? So we can have like the backstory from when you were creating it, to what led you there, to how it works, to how maybe your unique framework came about. Do you understand? So you're bringing in things about the product or the offer and how it works. Then you want to bring in your lead stories, your prospect story. So these people down your list, their stories. So there are times where somebody could reply my email, and then, I mean, you're not going to give away their information and confidential stuff. So depending on the kind of reply, there are some where I could be like, oh, can I use this to write an email? And there are some I use it to write the email, but then the person's identity is not revealed and all of those things, but just like key things that the person said. And so now I'm using their story to talk to them. Right.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And then the writing process gets easier. Let me ask, among all of these stories, which one do you think would be the easiest for you to write?
I think the one where you said my story of how I got there. I share that with a few people and they always relate to it. And that's actually how I've managed to get people into the course, is having that where we relate to each other and I see it from their point of view as well. So I think that would be easier. And I can also do that for the client's perspective, because as a business owner, I get it as well. I need an assistant.
Very important. So you can actually like start with these two. So when you're thinking of what to write, you can think of these two angles. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, start from there. Then the last one would be to do like Q&As. So it's not necessarily that you're asking a question, but you're taking questions you have gotten. So for example, you had a conversation with a prospect, or you had a conversation on socials, and you just take that flow of that conversation. You take the question, you give the answer, and then you plug in your product to be able to get to, you know, where it is. So a lot of people will say, oh, start with the pain points, agitate, give the solution. You know, there are so many frameworks, but I think it's just simple. They ask the question because they had a problem. You bring out the problem, you give them your answer, then you give them the solution, right? And that solution is how your offer then comes into play. Okay. So now that we know the kind of things that we're going to be writing to these persons and what the key message is. So I feel like key message is like your North Star. So it always lets you know that irrespective of what you're sharing, it always comes back to how I help you step away. So for example, I sign up for somebody's list because I want to master like a particular aspect of email marketing. Whether the person is talking about going to the beach or, you know, yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, it comes back to I'm getting that thing I signed up, which is why we started with like your email. Now, when it comes to your nurture sequence for this first group, right? Because when they finish the welcome sequence, the onboarding, they'll go into like your regular emails. Now we know what the regular emails are going to be. So let's look at the nurture sequence. You said something, and I just want to take you back a bit. So when you've had to interact with some of these people, like people who came in maybe like through the DMs, talked to you, and then eventually paid for your course, can you take me through like the flow of the conversation, like where it started from and where it ended?
Okay. From them purchasing or from the email, how the email sequence went?
No. So let's say somebody finds your page on Instagram and wants to purchase your course, right? And then maybe the person came into your DM first to have like a conversation. I'll just like to know like what an example of the conversation has been like.
Yeah. Hey, I had one experience where someone did ask. They were, one, hesitant about price. So obviously we spoke about price and spoke about how it's an investment and everything. And then I could see it going a bit cold. So I did mention, look, I have been in your shoes. And when it comes to digital marketing and everything, virtual assistants, I had to be more relatable and authentic and share a bit more about me. And then also mention the benefit that come from the course. So I always tell people, you sell benefits. You don't sell just the features. You're selling how it helps them. So I kind of mention what she gets, not what. So we focus what she gets. That helped. She joined. She took a freebie first. And then I think it was within 5 minutes or 10 minutes, immediately she purchased the course. So I was like, okay, it's working. But closing in the DMs is not always the easiest thing. But I always try to be authentic, speak to pain points, speak to value, and then kind of get them to purchase the course.
And that's your welcome sequence right there. So what you just said in your welcome sequence. So there are different ways we create a welcome sequence. I mean, I could have taken you like through the whole template I have, but the thing with the welcome sequence is it's like a conversation, it's like a journey. So I tell people that point A is where they are right now, and that's what made them get your lead magnet. And your lead magnet is actually supposed to get them to point B, which is like next level, which is where your offer then sits. And so if you've had a conversation in the past that took you from where the person was at point A, that started at point A where the person was, and then you got them to point B to buy your course, what you want to do is reverse engineer what you did and then use that to do your welcome sequence. So from what you said, right, you got to share your story so that you'll be relatable. Then you got to speak to value and to pain points. And then you bring in the benefit. So if we're taking that conversation, it means that your email one will deliver the lead magnet and start your story. Now you can choose to end your story in email one or take it over to email two, right? Because you're where the person wants to be. And so your conversation is helping them to get to where they want to be. Now, the next thing is you now want to speak to like values. So you can do it in terms of like future pacing. Maybe this is where I am today, but it wasn't like magic how you got there. So you begin to talk about like pain points from your point of view, how you faced this, you struggled, you know, and then little by little, you're beginning to introduce your offer. Now, that's one way. Right, because the offer doesn't get introduced until like maybe email 3, 4, 5. Now, if you're going the other way, it means that in that first email, you can actually make an offer to them. But you need to ensure that these things that you did to close them happens in that email. So you're trying to shorten the call. So you share your story and then you talk about the pain point and you still give them the offer all in that first email, then you can continue the process of everything you're doing. A lot of people will not give you an offer in the first email. The third way is you can still go with your initial framework, but subtly add, so it's like, I'm not selling, but if you're interested, it's here. You understand? So I'm not selling, but if you're interested, it's here. So it could be something like you're giving your story and then you end by saying, P.S. If you're ready to skip all those steps and see the exact process I use to be able to go from this to this, I have this XYZ for you. So you've shared your story. They already begin to know you. They've seen their lead magnet. But now you're positioning it for them as skipping all the steps. And they're like, okay, do I want to skip all the steps? Let me see what this thing is. So you're now bringing in the offer early on, right? So it could be any of these ways, but the conversation you had can just be replicated as your welcome sequence, with the goal that, from what you said, you want these people to actually buy.
Yeah.
So now the first thing is you want them to be able to make a purchase within the first 5 email that you're sending. Now, let's say they don't make a purchase within the first 5 emails, right? This is where we usually have like the ooh, right? Because I've actually jumped from not sure to convert in what we are doing here. But when we come to the optimize, it's like, okay, they didn't get the email. They didn't purchase in the first 5 emails. But did they indicate interest?
Yeah.
So you can then decide to optimize for that interest. So if somebody had clicked the link and didn't buy, you can decide to make them a special offer or give them like a downsell. It's like, I saw you were interested in this, and then you can bring in the price point of objection, the objection of price point like you had with the other person, right? You can also ask them like, what's stopping you from getting it? Or is there any question they need you to answer, right? And then you can decide to make them another offer.
I like the one where you said do it all in one. But would another email follow up after that, or would it just be like, just that, and that's it? How would that one?
You want to do just that email, because, for example, now you can walk into a store. You weren't planning to buy anything, but when you walk in, the person shows you like some options, talks about how we can help you, right? And you begin to see it. It's like, oh, we can do this for you, can do this, can do this for you. And it's like, okay, do you know what? Let me just get it, right?
Yeah.
Now, they usually wouldn't stop there. They'll still want to see how they can get you to get even more things. Now, we are trying to not just sell and sell more, but we're trying to build relationship. There's something about somebody you met once and you just talked to, and somebody who you have been talking to over time, which is why you will not just stop with the first email, but you will still add more. Because how do they get to know more about you? How do they get to know the things about you that make them to relate to you? I was on a conversation with somebody and he was like, oh, that the only reason he hired particular person he hired was because they were in the same football club. Well, how do they get to know like all those details is with the more emails that you send to them. So instead of just stopping in that first email, you get another touch point. In that other touch point, what if they didn't take action from the first email? The second email is at another touch point. So you're trying to build no like trust factor. At the same time, you still want to convert. So we're not forgetting the place of connection, right? Even though we want to bring in the conversion earlier.
I like that one. And then the last one you said, number 3.
For those who have indicated interest, you get to follow them up.
Yeah, because you said you do the introduction, you do the nurturing, and then you kind of say, okay, do you want to skip all of this? And you kind of also get that. I like that one.
Yeah, because a lot of times we do like to skip ahead. If you're waiting in line for coffee and you have the opportunity to jump the line, it's like, oh, do you want to take my spot? It's like, oh, sure. Like, so people like to skip ahead. So some of it is just like reframing it. So when you reframe it, it doesn't come across as I'm trying to push you to buy. It comes across like I'm going to save you time to help you get what you want. All right, so I think we see our welcome sequence. Definitely. So now let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next one. And then the next one would be the people who have already bought the course and you need them to buy more. I think that this one was a bit on the easier side, because for these people, for them to buy more, I feel like there are a number of things. But let me ask you, if you were in their shoes and you had a VA, what are the things that would make you want to buy more?
For this is for the product, or this is for the virtual assistants going to OBM?
It is for the VA to OBM. So people who already got VA services.
I think as a business owner, we all get to that point where, yes, our business is growing, but we are not scaling. And then I would position myself as being able to come in and help with that. Because as a VA, we deal with mainly the admin. Obviously, we do a bit of back end, but it's not at the scale an online business manager would come in. So when I come in, I'm helping increase your income, number one. I'm helping you save a lot more time. You step away, I step in. So I would tell from that point of view.
All right, so now is you step away, I step in, right? The first one is they were stepping away and getting some assistance. Now is like, you know how we have subscriptions? So the first one you got 1, 2, 3. Now you're just going to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So it's like you're going from appetizer to like main meal. So if we're going from appetizer to main meal, people need to be able to see things. Some of them already know they need it, right? But they have questions that haven't been answered. And sometimes they need like a little push. Now, because they've already experienced you, it's just easier. So let me ask, what's your sales process like for the OBM service? Do they need to like book a discovery call or fill a form, that kind of thing?
So usually I have a form that they fill in first, and then they can book directly after, and then I would obviously go through and qualify it. Most times I do. So it would be, yeah, form first, book the call, have the 30-minute discovery call, and then we have the discovery call. Most times I can close it, I can get them to sign, but yeah.
Okay. So the next thing is you actually have to qualify these people, right?
Yeah.
Before, you know, you can close them. So the next thing I want to look at will be the fact that now these people just got the VA services. Is there usually like a time before you upsell? Like, is it like after they've experienced 1 month or, you know, that kind of thing?
So what I would usually do, because obviously 1 month is not, it's enough to know someone and enough to work with someone, but I don't feel it's enough to feel the benefits of having a VA. Obviously, you feel short-term benefits, but I would think around month 3 onwards, you can definitely upsell. Because by then, you've seen growth in your business, you've seen things are changing, and that's the point where you're like, okay, we've had this, or 6 months at most, but you definitely sell from 3 to 6 months.
Okay, so what I would want to do for this is 2 things, right? For this particular group, you want to be showing them the benefits of the OBM, but you might not be pushing the, because I mean, if I just paid for an offer by somebody, okay, for example, I got this person who came in to work with me as a marketing assistant, right?
Yeah.
And in the first month, I told her that this is my goal. This is my strategy document. I want it implemented. You understand? In the first month of working with her, I'm like, this person gets it. This person, you know, this. Like, she just superseded my expectation. And I'm like, where have you been, you know, like all this time? And yeah. Then we were having a conversation around some things we wanted to do. So I wanted her to help a client of mine do some things. And then I had asked her, oh, this, what are your prices? And I was like, oh, you can actually do this. So I'm like, if you're to do this for me, like, what would the price be? And I was like, okay. So by like the second month or so, it was like beginning of the third month, I'm like, okay, I'm going to pay for this plus this extra service, that kind of thing. So it was first month of working together, second month of working together, third month we had moved. And she didn't even upsell me. It was just the quality of her work. So that's why I'm like, the quality of your work can help you upsell, right? Then the second thing is people need to know that there's something higher. So you may not start by pushing the book a call aggressively, so to say, but you could start by showing off what you're doing currently. So it could be like a case study series that you could do weekly for these people, right? So maybe how you helped this person to be able to increase revenue, or how you help this person to be able to take a vacation without having to, you know, stop her business. Just, I don't want you to do like full on deep dives, but I want you to take little things and do like a series for them, right? So, I mean, cliche name can be like the OBM Diaries or something. But basically, you are trying to get them to see the benefits of having an OBM. And then you can then put in a plug where they can join the wait list, right? Or you're now taking clients for maybe the next month and the form is open. So you can do like an open and close where they have to fill the form within a particular time. So this one now doesn't become a sequence. It's just a weekly series that you send to these people, which you can also send to the rest of your lists that are in that category. Do you understand? So they are just staying updated. They are seeing what the OBM can do. They are seeing the difference. And then there is that soft plug for them to, you know, get in. On the other hand, for people who have gotten your service, usually, I would usually prefer to do like an onboarding first in terms of, so the onboarding now is outside of email marketing in terms of like, this is what to expect. This is how to get to the portal. So you know, like all those things will need to happen. Then you will still have to do like constant communication. So you can just have like this email series for them instead of doing like an automated series. And even if you wanted to automate it, you could actually still take these emails that are supposed to be in the series and automate it for these particular people. Then you can update it, you know, frequently, because it's supposed to be weekly. So when they come in after their initial onboarding, all those things, then giving them that time that you said, okay, they've gotten enough of my service, you can then decide in that period, instead of now doing that, this series is like, do you want to upgrade? Or I want to gift you an upgrade. Will you take it? That kind of thing. So now you're gifting them an upgrade and it's like, I'd like to get on a call with you this, to see how we can improve your services. Are you open to speaking? And then they get on that call, you can then bring it. The email can even have like a mini, you know, this, and this. Or you just want to get them on that call because, you know, you have your skill and you can do your thing. So in that point, you just want to get them on the call, qualify them, and that. So that's what I think we can do with the second group. What do you think?
I like that. I like the offer, like you said, as a gift. I've seen that before and I liked it. I like that.
Okay. So for that one, we have the email series.
Yeah.
Then we have the, when we get to the time frame we're given for it. So basically you're showing them and then you're trying to give them like invitations to come to that particular point, right? So that's for the VA to OBM side of things. Now for the, let's see, people in the course. I think for the people in the course, I'm just going to tell you what I did with mine. For me, they've come into the course. It was more about them getting results first. So I wanted them to be able to go through this course and I wanted them to be able to not, okay, I don't know. Is your course like self-paced or does it come with group coaching?
So we do self-paced, but every 2 weeks we have our webinars that we do and we open it up to the public as well, where it's based off of what they vote in the community. So it could be they need help with sales mastery or they need help with a certain skill or topic or area they don't understand. So we would do the webinar based off of that. I do offer one-on-one sometimes, but not often, because that's obviously something extra. But yeah, so self-paced, and then we do the webinar. It was supposed to be weekly. I made it bi-weekly. Yeah.
That's fine. So with the webinar and with the course community, right? I think you already have something good ongoing. So what we want to do is, because this email is going to the people who are in the course community, you want to focus on getting them to implement. I don't know if you have like something you upsell them to.
I don't really want to upsell them. Obviously, I do offer coaching with the course, but I'm not big on wanting to upsell, only because obviously the course is for beginners. And maybe, like you said, we could have a time once they've been in the course for maybe 3 months or so, we could then offer coaching if they're not seeing results. But I feel they would contact me anyway inside the course. I don't think we need to upsell. I think it's more to help them implement the skills, keep them up to date with what's going on. That's what I would love the emails to do. Yeah.
All right. So ideally, how long will it take somebody to go through? What's like the shortest and the average time it takes somebody to go through your program?
We have like 34 modules. And a lot of them have like a whole bunch of others. So I'm thinking, I think if you push it and you just sit, I would think a week at most. If you're just doing it on a daily basis and you're going through everything, you could.
Okay. So here's the thing. My course has, I don't know how many modules anymore, but the videos, if we had 34 modules, each module will have at least three at least. And three is being quite, you know. But the length of the videos though, we're talking like an hour and 30 minutes, talking like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it's long.
I think my videos are 5 minutes because I have a very short attention span for certain things, okay? So I don't like my videos to be too long, except if it's the webinar replay, then obviously that's a bit longer. But for anything where I'm giving instructions, it's either 5 minutes, maximum 15 minutes. So I try to make it short. So if they're just doing something, they're listening and they're going on about their business. Sorry, there are videos. I didn't think about that part. Okay, maybe 2 weeks. Maybe, yeah.
All right. So the reason I was creating context is because, for example, if I'm teaching you how to do automations in MailerLite, that might be 45 minutes because I won't just show you. I will have to go like detailed. Now, if I'm teaching you maybe how to plan out your, for example, we're already like an hour into this and you know, we're not done. So if I'm teaching you like certain things, it will take longer. And I tend not to cut the videos because I'm like, learn this one thing. Watch this one video. I know you've learned this one thing, right? So if we're putting that into context, the fastest I've seen somebody finish it was 1 month. And I tell people that on average, it takes them 60 to 90 days. So the reason I asked is because based on how long it will take them, that's how I want to pace the implementation emails. Because those emails are doing two things. Those emails are reminding them that they bought this course, and those emails are getting them to go do the course, right? So what I did when I set it up was I set it to span over 90 days, but they weren't receiving an email daily. It was staggered. So the email, an example of an email would be how to build, let's say, an onboarding email funnel. Right. And then I give like, maybe these are the steps. And I'm like, oh, refer to this video under this module. And you can add like a screenshot. So somebody sees it randomly out of the blue. It's like, oh, I want to, they open it because they're interested. And it's like, okay, I have this course. I could go watch this video. Do you understand? Sometimes for context, you can also add like duration. And it's like also comes with XYZ templates. So now there's more incentive because they know the time. They can budget and then they have an incentive. Oh, there's a template to make it easier. If not for anything, it's like, let me go and see what's in the template. So that's how I want you to plan out this email. So if it's 2 weeks, in 2 weeks, they can receive like 7 emails. But the goal of each email is to get them to go back to the course, is to get them to remember. And the final thing is you want to infuse your testimonial collection within it.
I have those. But I like what you just said about the, I can do it for the course. I can map this out. I can see it. I just struggle with the other part of the business. And that's my main business. I don't know why, but I love the course aspect. Listening to you speak, it's definitely something that's doable. And I feel that would be a bit easier for me to do. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk action points. I mean, we've done the whole attraction, nurture, convert, optimize without even going deeper into it. I mean, there are like other things we could talk about, but I really wanted to ensure that we covered your sequences and what you can do, right? Now, the first thing will be to test it out, set it up. In short, the first thing will be to actually write it. So all you need to do after now is like take a paper and pen. I'm giving you an assignment. So you take a paper and a pen, just list out like the three categories. So new leads, VA to OBM, and then a course student, right? To make it simple. For the course student, you said that you can see it. So that's easier. So what you want to do is take questions you have gotten, oh, how to do this, how to do that, link them to materials in the course area, right?
Yeah.
And then go ahead and use that to plan out the email. So, of course, the first email will be like, oh, congratulations, you just got this course. Here's how you can finish it, that kind of thing. You want to help them to be able to plan to finish it. Then after that, you can say, okay, this is where you should start from, or you can choose to start from the beginning, or depending on how your course is, right? They can start from like the beginning, or for me, my course, you can start from anywhere as well. Then you now want to start giving those emails where it's like you're taking a question you have gotten, and then you're mapping it to a video resource. So they open that email, it's like, oh, we also have this question. Okay, this video answers it. Let's go. These are extra things. If you don't have like templates, you can say, oh, other relatable videos you can now put. So let's say the first video was how to create automations in MailerLite. If I'm doing like other related videos, I'll now say how to create landing pages in MailerLite, how to set up emails in MailerLite, secret MailerLite tricks that you didn't know existed,
right?
So the person now has seen the first one that brought them in, but there's like this other one. So that way I'm helping them go through the course. And like I said, you don't have to do a lot, because if they are going to finish in like 14 days, you could have like a 7-part email and then you could span it out. It could also be a bit shorter depending on how often you want them to get it. So that way, you understand. Then another thing you could do that I haven't mentioned is also share names of students who have gone through it, right? So this person achieved this on day 3, this person. So it's like, oh, you could do it like one email with a lot of wins. Or you could do like, you share the resources, you break it with a win. You share some more, you break it with a win, right?
Yeah.
So that way, you get to also see where they can be if they take it serious.
Yeah. No, I like that. That one, yes, definitely.
So that's like action point for that part.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the action point for VA to OBM. So with this one, like I said, you're doing the series, like the OBM diaries, so to say, where you're just showing them what's possible, then you want to be able to plug in that link to book a call. And then when you give them a bit of time, so time has passed from when they booked the VA service to where they are now, you then want to give them that invite. So I want to give you an upgrade, right? So you then bring it in, then you can put in like 3 follow-up messages after that gifting of an upgrade. And the goal of this sequence is to get them to book a call, because once they book a call, you can go ahead to close them. And then the second thing is, you know your capacity per time. So if they are booking a call, how many slots you have open. And that's another thing you can do. So with the OBM diaries, let's say you have 3 slots open. When you're releasing it, you can say, oh, 3 slots open for this month. Oh, I just got a slot for this, right? So you can also bring it then. So people also have a bit of urgency. It's like, okay, this slot is open. Sometimes when we infuse urgency, people stop procrastinating and actually take decisions at that time. Decisions that they would have taken longer, but will be beneficial to them, right? Then with the new leads, this one is pretty simple. Think of the conversation you had. Think of all the things you did in that conversation. Outline them as steps, and each step becomes an email. And with that, we have wrapped up the 3 welcome sequences, just like that.
I'm glad I have a plan, because before everything was in my head, but when you've broken it down, now at least I know, okay, this is my homework. This is what I need to go do. Now it's up to me to do the right thing and test it out and everything. But I'm excited. I'm actually going to, as soon as we get off of this, I am definitely going to go ahead and do it, because I'm very excited to see it in like in action. I need to. Thank you.
And I'm going to be following up. Now, before you go, I mean, you do VA services. I know that I have people in my audience who are virtual assistants, who want to, you know, learn more, who wants to be able to do it at a higher level. So I'd like you to tell us about your community and how the listeners can get in touch with you, follow you for virtual assistant services, and also to learn how to become a virtual assistant.
Yes. So I do have a Facebook group for anyone that's not ready to kind of join the course as yet.
So in the Facebook group, it's more about tips. I help you with different ways to do a task, because most time as a virtual assistant, we're doing lots of admin or we're dealing with lots of client communication. Clients at the beginning are not happy. We go through a lot. So I kind of just help you with the tips and tricks in the trade. And if you're interested in the course, obviously I would offer a bit of support at the beginning, show you the modules you need to go through, show you the templates that you can use, help you kind of get started. And I'm always available. I tell everyone in the community, I'm always available to help you, because the course was built for beginners, for virtual assistants. Whether you're a beginner or trying to scale, everything we have is to get you there. And yeah, I'm always available. And I love it. I will teach you all the AI tricks, anything to do with AI and automation. I'm there.
That's very important. Now, I know that when people want to learn skills, one of the things that they like to talk about is, oh, does the course teach me pricing? Oh, does it teach me how to attract clients?
Yes. So that is one thing that I struggled with. And even though I would join people's lists or groups where they would say you can find a client, I could never, because no one walks you through the steps. They're just like, join this and this is how. No. So I make sure, one, I give you the pricing strategy. I actually have an Excel sheet that you have access to kind of plug it and see how it works for you. And then obviously, depending on countries, we all know, but I tell you what is the bare minimum that I feel is acceptable and how you can get there. And also, it's also how you speak. I teach you how to close in a call, because I do that a lot lately in an interview. Think of it like a sales pitch. But when it comes to finding clients, I tell you where. I have a remote job board in the course as well, where I post. I even post Upwork jobs. I post different jobs inside, and I link it so you can always go ahead and post and find work as well.
Love it. Love it. So, I mean, everybody, you guys are covered. So you can start with our free community, which I'll be linking in the show notes of this, or you could just go straight dive into the course, because I know that when you're learning a new skill, two things that are of priority to you is, how do I charge these people? Where do I find them? I'm fired up to learn this and I need to be able to, you know, go ahead and do this. So it has been such a pleasure having you on the call today, Michaela. And guys, I want you to go follow her. She's active on Threads. That's where we connected. She's also on Instagram. All the links would be in the show notes. So you can just click, you can just connect. And of course, you can start learning right away, right away, right away. Michaela, now that you've been able to map out your email marketing and you know what it is you can do and what it is you want to do when it comes to, you know, nurturing your audience with automation, with normal emails, I'd like to ask, how do you feel?
I feel much better and I have a lot more clarity, which is something I was struggling with. I've been struggling for quite some time. So to have that clarity and to think it took an hour or so to kind of get clarity on those steps, I am grateful, because I would have been going through things and learning and trying. So I'm very grateful and thankful that I actually have steps to implement. So thank you. I will definitely let you know the feedback of how everything goes, because I'm going to do this. This is my homework for today.
I think the best part is the fact that people don't just, you know, go away with the clarity and the strategy, but they actually implement it. And I think that's what I'm most excited about, the fact that you are going to implement it. And yes, 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 congratulations to you in advance, because I can't wait to see all the things that you do. And thank you so much for joining us on the show. It has been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
All right, guys. So don't forget to follow us, listen, share. Until next time, this is Still Email Marketing Experiments, where we share behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing experiments. And sometimes we do what we did today, where we do like a full deep dive strategy or teaching session, just so that we get to open up our perspectives. We get to see different perspectives and views of all that email marketing can be. Till next time, see you. Same time, maybe next week. All right, Michaela, bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.